Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Discussing the second verse by Kapiladev, that those who are dedicated to Krishna, to the Supreme Lord, the weapon of time does not threaten them. They're not at all affected by time. And then there's more in the second half of that verse. Yesham aham priya atma sutascha sakaguru surido daivam ishtam. I am their, for these devotees, I am their beloved self, son, friend, spiritual master, well-wisher and worshipable deity. So we read the last paragraph of 62.5. Na kevalam etavat tesham mahatmyam ityaha. Yesham iti. But their glories are not limited to just this much. As the words beginning Yesham state. Okay, ask him, tell him the class is going on. Yesham mam vina nakaschid aparat prema bhajanam astityartaha yadva golokadikam apekshyaivam uktam. The idea is, for whom, for which devotees, there is no repository of love beside myself. So I am in all these relationships with them, that means they don't have the same serious relationships with anybody else. I'm their father. I'm their friend. Okay. Or else, we can read this a different way. These words are spoken in reference to realms like Gokula. Okay, not Vaikuntha in general, but especially in Gokula, these intimate relationships are manifest. I'm sorry, the word is Goloka here. He uses the word Goloka. There in Goloka, the cowherds, whose mentality is like this, like that means, well, that they don't want anything. They don't want any benefits. Even the perfections of Vaikuntha, I force them on them, but they don't even want them. Such an attitude. They're the cowherds in Goloka, whose mentality is like this, are eternally present. Okay. Tatrahi tata bhava eva shri gopa nitya vidyante. I just read that. Atava, or another way of reading it, tam lokam kidvig bhava avidya anantaram prapnuvanti iti tatraha yesham iti. A third way of reading this these words, yesham, second half of the second verse. Or, alternatively, possessors of what kind of mentality achieve that world after cessation of their ignorance? This is answered by the words beginning yesham. Ye kechid padmotarakonde darshita muni gana savasana priya patir iti mam bhavayanti. This is answered by the words beginning Yesham, which indicate that certain persons who share the mood of the company of sages appearing in the Uttara Khanda of the Padma Purana. Okay, who are those sages? That will be explained in the commentary. These sages who appear in the Uttara Khanda of the Padma Purana, people sharing the mood of those sages, who have a similar mood to those sages, think of me as their beloved, pati, their husband. Priya is the word, but it's glossed by by Jiva Goswami as pati, husband. It's a conjugal relationship. Iti mam bhavayanti. Ye kidcha sanakari savasana. Atma brahm aiv ayam sakshad iti mam bhavayanti. And certain other persons who share the mood of Sanaka and his brothers think of me as the self. With the idea, they think of me as Brahman. With the idea, this is the absolute truth directly manifest. Devotees like the four Kumaras, they're thinking of Narayan as the absolute truth. Evam anye cha ye ye, ta eva prapnuvant ityartaha. And similarly, all of them, and they only, obtain me. Okay. What it really says is similarly, there's also others, people in other moods. I left that out. I didn't translate anye, so let me mark that. Okay. Other people also, in other moods, they also worship me and obtain me in whatever relationship they worship me in. Sudida, the word sudid is there in the verse. Sudida iti bahutvam saurideyasya nana beda pekshaya. The plural form of sudidaha, the word well-wishers, plural, is with the idea that there are several ways of being a well-wisher, or several varieties of friendship. So, plural. Yeah, because they're thinking Krishna as plural friends. Krishna's only one person. How could he be plural friends? Because there's different kinds of friend. He's this kind of friend, he's also that kind of friend, and that one. So plural. Evam chaturte Sri Narada Vakye Shantak Samadushap Shudha Sarva Bhutanuranjana Yantyanjasa Chyutapadam Achyuta Priyabandavaha Iti Sri Kapilaha. Thus Narada says in the fourth canto, he says, in the same way, he says, this is the absolute, no. Narada says, persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with the devotees of the Lord. They only can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. Okay. Narada is talking about being friends only with devotees. The other two verses spoken by Shukadeva were talking about only having Krishna as your friend or other kind of relationship. But that's equivalent. Someone who only has serious relationships with the devotees of Krishna, he's also going to be connected with Krishna through the devotees. That's how we establish our relationship with Krishna. So it's not, there's no difference. If you can exclusively associate with devotees and avoid materialists, then you will establish your connection with Krishna by doing that. Okay, then Sri Kapilaha, the verses under discussion, which are Bhagavatam 325, verses 37 and 38, were spoken by Sri Kapila. Commentary on this? Lord Kapila glorifies those who are matparaha, fully dedicated to him, calling them enjoyers of internal, he calls them, enjoyers of eternal residence in his abode. That we see also in the Upanishads, in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Ya evam satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Brahman, the absolute truth, is real existence, real eternal existence, and pure consciousness, unlimited, anantam. And it says then, ya evam vedam nihitam guhayam sa asnute sarva kaman saha brahmana vipashtita. Anyone who understands, who realizes this satyam jnanam anantam, absolute truth, as found inside his own heart, he will enjoy all desire, everything he desires, in the personal company of that absolute truth. So that's also found in the Upanishads. And Kapiladev, in the same way, says that those who are dedicated to him fully they enjoy eternal residence in his abode. And the most enjoyable thing about being in Krishna's abode is that Krishna's there, and you can enjoy with him in his personal company. Okay, Kapiladev declares that these devotees never lose their position and assets, and that time never cuts them down. For these devotees, Kapiladev goes on to say, the Supreme Lord is all relations. No other mother, father, or friend can attract their love as the Lord does. Or taking this in another way, the most perfect devotees enter the few exclusive realms like Goloka. So now we're not talking about all devotees, but some special devotees. Looking at it from a different angle. So there are the most perfect devotees enter the few exclusive realms like Goloka, where they enter very intimate relationships with the personality of Godhead. You can say that devotees in Vaikuntha are Krishna's friends in a way. They have a close personal relationship with Narayan, but it's flavored by reverence. They're close friends, but not intimate friends. You know, they certainly trust Narayan, and Narayan trusts them. But still, there's a distance between them, or in reverence. But there, you can call it friends, but it's not the same kind of friend as you can be in Goloka. A third way of looking at this statement, or in response to the statement that the Lord's devotees are provided all facilities in his personal abode, which was said in the first verse, it might be asked in between the verses, someone may interrupt, raise his hand and ask the question. Someone's in the audience there, Shukadev speaking, and someone asks a question in the middle of between the two verses. It might be asked what kinds of mentalities the devotees must have to be granted entrance into this abode. And then the second verse is spoken to answer that. In answer, they might love him like a dear husband. As the sages in Dandaka forest wanted to worship Lord Ramachandra. On the other end of the scale of rasas, they might appreciate him passively like the sages Sanaka and his brothers. Or they might realize any of the other moods of pure devotion in between.
Okay, there's two ends of the scale. The conjugal relationship, then you have just passive neutrality. Then there's the other rasas in between. Mahamudraya and Shanta, yeah. Those are the two mentioned, but we have all the other rasas in between also. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are all very well disposed to the welfare of others, but how they express this compassion varies. Some express it by their gentleness, some by their fairness, some by their exemplary behavior, and others by their careful discrimination. The Lord's devotees should not be stereotyped and expected to conform to rigid formulas of external behavior. Okay, any questions?
It looks like that all this Nisheda, the statement that the devotee, they cannot, there is no external cause for the devotee to fall down from the Buddha, because then only with intention one wants to do it, because otherwise the devotee needs to take the Krishna, he replaces them, he. They feel such an intense relationship with Krishna, so they cannot do it unless they intention
to. Well, that was my interpretation in my commentary. Jiva Goswami doesn't get into that. He just says there's no skullam.
Skullam means to...
Well, I say it means to accidentally trip, but someone may disagree with me. This could be controversial. Yeah, others will say, no, 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 nobody falls ever from Vaikuntha, we didn't come from Vaikuntha, the stork delivered us or something. So it's still controversial. Jiva Goswami doesn't take sides in that controversy.
Because it seems that he speaks only on his external reasons, hold on, like the way of time, which that destroys, and that's
the terrible thing. He doesn't say that nobody chooses to rebel against Krishna. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that we never were with Krishna, we were, kept in some, cold storage somewhere. No, he doesn't say that. He just doesn't say. Yes? Maybe it's not true because he doesn't say it? Well, he doesn't say either way. He doesn't say that we were with Krishna either, not so specifically. At least I don't see it here. So to be fair, he just doesn't take a position on it. He doesn't consider it something important to talk about, or something that we can figure out from our current position. Now, he does talk about a lot of things, as you noticed. He gets into all sorts of details about important things. If he thought it was important enough, I'm sure he could find an anuchet or two to talk about it, about whether we were with Krishna or not. He doesn't talk about it, as far as I see. And he could have added another anuchet. Talks about so many, detailed things. Yes, Prabhu?
I heard Mayapur is a part of Vrindavan.
Okay, but maybe that's not on the topic. Okay, I think that'll take us off when we discuss it.
And then more.
Yeah?
We were talking about Dandakaranya says, they met Ramchandra.
Yes.
And then after the next birth, they became gopis.
Yes.
And how can we understand about it? There is personal dham of Guru Ramchandra, Sakhet.
There is what?
Sakhet dham belongs to Guru Ramchandra, his own dham is there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry.
I heard Sakhet.
What's that word?
Sakhet. I heard the name.
Sakhet. Well, I
Ayodhya.
Yeah, Ayodhya, yeah.
Ayodhya.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
So, how they first they came
in. In Well, because they had that conjugal attraction, they had to be sent up to Goloka, to Krishna. Because Ramachandra only has one conjugal relationship with one wife. He doesn't have any girlfriends. That's completely against his mood. So they can't become his girlfriends. Therefore, he sent them over to sent them to Krishna. You take birth in Krishna's pastimes, and you can have what you want. I'm sorry, I can't provide it. So they, because they had that desire, that seed of the conjugal attraction, they had to become Krishna's associates, become gopis. As far as, now what was it at Mayapur?
That Mayapur, that was another question. I asked Mayapur, it's part of Goloka Vrindavan, I heard.
Yes.
And where is it situated in Goloka Vrindavan? How can we understand?
Antap Krishna Pahir Gauram. You can understand that it's like the inside of, well, not literally, of Vrindavan. It's not different from Vrindavan. It's opposite side of Vrindavan. Everything that's going on in Vrindavan is going on in Navadvitam, but in a special mood of separation. It's not different. Mayapur and Vrindavan are the same. So they're going to be in the same place.
In Goloka Vrindavan, the friend of Krishna, they are playing with him and joking with him. Same condition in Vaikuntha also? Not his friend?
No. The friendship is more respectful friendship. You know, they can't joke so intimately and confidentially with him. That kind of close, equal friendship is not found in Vaikuntha. Only more respectful friendship. Like when one friend is definitely younger than the other, they're friends, but that difference of age or difference of position, maybe one of them is the king's son and the other one is just, you know, the cook's son, and they may be friends, but they never forget that he's the prince and I'm just the son of the cook. So there's something in between them that doesn't let it be too intimate. Because of an age difference or a difference of position, it's like that. In Vaikuntha, there's friendship, but it's made distant because of that respect that's there, reverence. So close friendship is only found in Goloka. Especially if you're going to be older to or superior to Krishna, then that's only found in Goloka. Okay?
Devotees have a relation with Krishna like Vasudeva and Madhurya.
Vasudeva where?
Vasudeva and Madhurya, Rasa. Devotees have a relation with Vishnu like that?
No, Lakshmi does, that's all. Yeah. So, only the two and a half rasas are prominent in Vaikuntha. Basically, that's all that you see. The Madhurya rasa is only represented by the Lakshmis. Other devotees are mostly in Dasya rasa. They're mostly thinking themselves as servants. And then some of them are a little closer and they have a kind of friendship, but not very intimate friendship. So two and a half rasas, mostly in Vaikuntha. And we don't hear about mother and father of Narayan. We don't hear about them. That's not there. Yeah, baby Narayan. We don't read about that. Yes?
There are a few very intimate aspects of our philosophy we don't necessarily discuss, like this point of falling down, etc.
It's not even a question of intimacy, it's a question of something that the human mind can't really grasp. It's, at least until you become liberated, you can't understand it.
So, somebody, because we many times we have a discussion with other philosophies or religions or whatever,
yes.
And we point out sometimes the incompleteness of some philosophy or so forth. But sometimes somebody may counter argue and use these aspects to as an argument that our philosophy also has good gaps, or we don't deal with certain things, we don't understand them.
Well, okay. You see, there's a basic question of knowability. What can be known? You shouldn't assume that everything can be known. Or somebody can know everything. God can know everything. But we can't assume that we can know everything. That's naive. You know, we'll just continue our pursuit of science and soon enough we'll know everything. That's foolish. We can't know everything. And even in Krishna consciousness, we can't expect we're going to know everything about Krishna. And everything about, you know, how Krishna is God and how he does everything he does. God can know that. We can only know so much. So, even to understand where we came from and how we got here, we don't have the capacity in our present condition. We don't have the capacity to understand that. We have minds that think in terms of time and space, material time and space. We can't understand things that don't fit in that scope of material logic. Of course, if things are told us, if it's revealed to us, we can partly understand transcendental things, but there's still always going to be something we can't understand. So that's not a failure of philosophy, that there are some things that are beyond our understanding. We can understand the Absolute Truth to a great significant extent. We can understand our personal relationship with Him. And enough to practically revive that personal relationship with Him and to enjoy ecstatic loving exchanges with Him. That much we can know. That's plenty for us, that's plenty. Most philosophies can't provide that much, anything near that much. Most religions can't. To actually understand God, to know exactly who He is, to know Him, you know, intimately as a person, to know, you know, what He eats for breakfast, and who His favorite friends are. You don't read about, you don't learn that in other religions. And how to, it can talk about love of God, but how to actually develop love of God, that's not available in other spiritual cultures, mostly. So, it's not fair if some philosopher is going to complain that there's gaps in our knowledge, we can't know everything. It's not possible, only God can know everything.
So basically, the argument would be that, there are a few things which we cannot understand at the present moment, or we just can, you know, God can understand, but let's focus on all the positive stuff we have, so much information, how to achieve.
Yes. We can offer that when you do perfectly reestablish your relationship with God, then you can understand many of these things that we can't understand now. Then when we go back to where we came from, and when we get out of this limited sphere of material time and space, then we'll have the eyes to understand and the brain to understand where we came from, how we got here. We'll understand when we get back to where we came from. So we can understand it, but only when we recover our spiritual nature. Yes?
The same topic. Srila Krishna Thakur in his Bhakti-yoga, he also explains this topic of fall down. He speaks that it's impossible for us to understand the things which are achintya, unless we are on the level of achintya.
Yes. That is Srila Vishwanathachakravarti? Bhaktivinoda Thakura in Bhakti-yoga.
We won't be able to understand it. And then he tells that in order to somehow get this knowledge, we have to know this vision. We have to take this knowledge from those who already there, spiritual means, acharyas. And I think that Srila Jivakaswami doesn't speak much about this.
He doesn't. He doesn't. Prabhupada told us we were with Krishna and we're going back to Godhead.
Yeah.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came up with that phrase.
Yeah.
So maybe Jiva Goswami says something about that. About that we were with Krishna. He may mention it, I don't know. But not how we fell and where we fell from, he doesn't get into that detail.
So in this case,
Especially since it's not something that he just mentioned once or twice, you know, about going back to Godhead, this phrase he used, you know, favorite phrase he used over and over again. You know, so if he says something repeatedly, then we have to take it seriously. Could you let me know where that is and show me, could you find me the original text for that Bhaktiloka passage?
Bhaktiloka on the topic of Nishaya.
Well, do you have the book? Okay, sometime could you bring it to me? Okay, we'll have to stop now. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.